The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You have to be strong in today's world.
Strong.
Keep your focus and
up.
What you believe in, how to achieve all your dreams.
Hey.
Keep moving forward. Never accept less than who you are. Live your best.
The Head Back with Naj Black is sponsored by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, BTC, Boost Academy, Dwayne Sands of Elizabeth Estates, J.S. Johnson, Bar Retreat and Spa, the Progressive Liberal Party, and the Water and Sewage Department.
It's the Head Back with Naj Black.
In the 242. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're doing well. You're listening to the Hit Back with Naj Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I hope that everyone is doing well, taking care of yourself, enjoying your day. We got a good show for you today, a kind of a change up. I don't know if it really is a change up, but it kind of is a change up today because, you know, the news hasn't been that great, right? And obviously everyone knows my frustration is that we are seeing too many numbers. Too many people are leaving us at an alarming clip, and it's getting really frustrating every day to try and do a show and change the energy, change the vibe. The thing is that, we know we have the entertainment of the, I guess you could say, of elections, right? So elections has its own bit of entertainment. So that is one of those things that's entertaining. You get ready for it. There is this own running behind the scenes sort of scandal. Is it? Should I call it a scandal? Or backstory, I guess, would be the appropriate term of what has been going on with the independent coalition, right? That's what it is, the independent coalition. And some of the challenges that are being faced there with this independent coalition, we know that there were five parties. So I knew of this coalition on Sunday from Sunday night. Knew of the coalition, got the information from various sources. A lot of the stakeholders have spoken to me since. And I know that last night there was this live by one of the party leaders, Lincoln Bain, stating the truth about this party. And listen, I thought it was just the divergence of what was said by all of the other parties, what he shared with his. And really, it is a sad day when we can't all have one story, right? So amongst the clouds of witnesses, that one is a sad one, to have it try and be sabotaged before it could even go any further. But it is an interesting idea. So if you haven't been keeping up, Cassius Stewart, the independent, was duly elected for this independent coalition as a leader, 14. Lincoln Bain, 8. Ali McIntosh, I think, 4. And someone else, another number. So apparently, based on numerous witnesses, the Coalition of Independents, Lincoln Bain, after he did not win that seat, even though the terms were agreed upon before the vote were cast, the terms agreed upon that they did not like the outcome. And not liking the outcome has led to a never-ending saga. Here we go again, right? How can we not break up amicably? How come every relationship you get in, it's a bad outcome if it doesn't work out in your favor? So we have our concerns there. I have my concerns when you hear among the clouds of witnesses that were there that night. I'm not talking about people who weren't there getting hearsay, who were there that night. And it was a whole scene. I heard that there was cursing in the church. It was all kinds of things that were going on from different people who don't know they're speaking to me. So that one is interesting. And it's sad because in politics, and in particular in this season, the people need as much unity as possible. And I think it's incumbent on all parties to show a form of unity in something where the pandemic is constant, it's looming, it is ever present. We're going to be holding an election in a time where everything is in a disarray, right? So, you know, concerns are mounting. We need less meetings indoors and in churches right now, and more of us getting out there and really trying our best to help each other. So that's a whole debacle. However, they plan on moving forward. Right now, I think the DNA said no before the vote. So the DNA made their position quite clear before the vote that they were out. The Coalition of Independents were in until the vote did not go the way that they planned. And that leaves the BDM, the Bahamas Constitution Party, Adrian Francis's Bahamas Sovereign. I don't even think that was a party. I don't think it was necessarily a party. I don't think they registered as a party. And then you have some key independents, such as, I do believe, Halsen Mutri, the Speaker of the House of Assembly. So this is where it gets interesting. We'll see how that works. But it would have been fantastic if all of those independent factions could have come together to really form a true independent coalition that would take the best and the brightest from among them and give them that actual girth and space to do something, you know, to do something. We will see how it all plays out. Coalition of Independents do feel as if they have what it takes to win the government. We know that some of the smaller groups, and for the record, Coalition of Independents is one of the only independent or third-party groups who has a full slate. So that is something to make note of. Now, mind you, I go again with the whole concept. Do we have the persons within that party who can run this country from with the state that it's in day one? See, I don't want no slapping up. I can't. There can't be any slapping up on the situation. Whatever we decide to do as a country, we must be confident. And I doubt confidence is going to be a thing we get. Candida Dames did a wonderful article today, The Lesser of Two Evils. And I don't think we still don't know which one is the lesser. We will go with the one. I figure you go with the one. Well, listen, I don't even know what you figure. I figure it's going to be a challenge this season, right? To pick and to choose who we're going to run with, considering what we're seeing in the economy. Now, something else of note before I bring on my first guest. I share on this show that, let me say this first. One of the main things that I found whilst going through this pandemic and the narrative of vaccines, the narrative of COVID-19, is that the media is not being truthful, or the health physicians are not being truthful, that we are a part of some gigantic narrative to feed you information that is of the same totem pole of you know, the disseminated information. So one of the things that I try to do on the show is to combat that narrative every day, because I, just like you, I'm seeking answers to questions. I, just like you, have family who have been touched by this pandemic. I, just like many of you, have been touched by this pandemic. Okay? So we know that this is not a you or I situation. All of us are going through something with COVID-19. The function then that I present here on the show is I give you the information as I get it. I still do have to cipher through. You still have to decide, is this in the public's interest to know? Is it just gossip? Is it just something that might be factual, but does it help our level of discourse? And what I mean is, because I found out that an MP or someone who's in the public sphere did something that was not necessarily illegal, but personal, is that your business? Nah, it ain't even my business. So when people come to me with stuff like that, I don't share it. It ain't our business. Personal issues ain't our business. So there's some information that you don't share, and some movements that you don't talk about unless they actually get to us close enough to a destination to mark an alert. All of that to say this. Earlier this week, I shared about the passing of a family friend, and that this was the first case that we knew, I knew personally, not coming from the health, Ministry of Health and their data, who was fully vaccinated, was found COVID positive, and then died suddenly thereafter. Type 2 diabetic. I shared that information and I shared all the details. And in sharing that information, I also brought on Dr. Dwayne Sands. Those of you who watched the show know exactly how that show went. And I ensured that there was a physician with me so as to help explain or help us to understand how something like this could happen. Why is it happening? Is it prone to happening again? What should be our course or recourse for this situation? My fear in even sharing that story was that you would have the special ones who would decide that that is their reason for not getting vaccinated. that they would use it as their storyline as, see, man, even those who are vaccinated are dying. Ladies and gentlemen, we never said it is not a mystery. They actually showed that there was 42,000 breakthrough cases in the world of fully vaccinated persons who have passed away. So it is not a new thing, but what is new is here. We aren't hearing that narrative here. So it's important that that narrative or that information is shared, but not to create a narrative where one case is used to confirm all of your thought processes, right? There are outliers in cases. But worse than that, if it does confirm your thoughts or beliefs, that's fine. But don't misconstrue mine, okay? Don't use it to tout as if Nahaja Black is somewhere championing that folks should not get vaccinated because the devil is a liar. I do believe that it is the best recourse for many of us. And as we continue to take our zinc, continue to get sunlight, go on the beach, get some salt water in you, stay in the sun, do all of the things you're supposed to do, walk a lap, do all them good things, but at the same time, go ahead and get vaccinated. Now, if you choose not to get vaccinated, that's between you and God. Take it with Jesus. But just know that there are some challenges with space in the hospital. If something were to happen, God forbid, there may not be room in the inn. People are dying in their homes. Those numbers, I don't believe, are making it quick enough to our reports. Those numbers and the ensuing situations. And again, I still believe that there's so much data that hasn't been collected. We still don't know because we are not really doing scientific data on what has been the effects of the vaccine on the Bahamian public, a country that is naturally, in our present state, very unhealthy. Has there been adverse reactions? Have we checked to see if the similarities between AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, are there any concerns for us when we take the dosage? I believe all of these are leading to further lack of trust when it comes to the vaccination process. However, the goal, ladies and gentlemen, every day when I come on this show is to ensure that we get as much information as possible, that you are duly armed with the data, as much information that I have that I can give to you so that you can choose wisely the path for you. But what I don't like is when people try to misrepresent myself or my work. I am always very clear on where I stand, what I believe in. I don't equivocate. And when I'm wrong, I'm a woman who understands that being right is not a victory. Being right does not make you victorious. If it is in the sense that I am right to do justice to you or harm to you because you hurt me, doesn't make it a just thing. So, I mean, come. We must be able to come together and realize that we are under siege at a certain point. Agree, learn together, grow together. When we come back, Pastor Chris Roberts will talk about how he's lost so many persons to COVID-19 and how this is affecting himself and those around him. We'll be back after this. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Elevate your home with BTC's super fast fiber internet plan for the best speeds to stay connected. Get 50% more savings with us and speeds starting at 100 megabits per second up to 600 megabits per second. Enjoy the ultimate internet experience for all your work, study, and entertainment needs. Plus, get unlimited mobile benefits when you add it to your home internet plan. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or BTC Bahamas.com. Conditions apply.
the PLP is hosting an economic summit where financial experts and business leaders share ideas and plans for transforming the Bahamian economy. Speakers will discuss the PLP's economic plan, a new blueprint to create a Bahamian economy that works for everyone. Discussions include opportunities in high tech, renewable energy, and training for entrepreneurs. Go to PLPEconomicSummit.com and learn how you can be part of a new Bahamian economy.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
It's a hit back, hey, with Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's a hit back,
hey,
with Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's a hit back,
hey,
with Nahasha Black.
Hey.
It's a hit back.
And we're back listening to the Hit Back with Nahasha Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I hope that everybody's doing well, taking care of yourself, living your best life. We got joining us my good friend, always happy to have him on the show. And now I'm hearing a good little echo. Pastor C.A. Wellgood.
Hi, Nahasha. Good to be here.
Good to have you, my friend. Okay. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Chris.
Do you have headphones, Chris? Because I'm getting an echo.
Do I? I'm trying to remember.
Well, then you know what? Let's just do this, right? So I'll ask the question and then I'll just let you respond to it as best as you can. And let's see if we can get rid of some of this echo here. Christopher Hyler Roberts joining us, affectionately known as Pastor Chris and the JP Master. Chris, you recently shared on your Facebook page about the amount of firms you've lost in the past and the recent days. Give us an idea of what has been going on with you.
Well, when I went to bed last night, after tracking the last 10 days, I had up to 12 persons who would have passed that I know personally, most of them to COVID. That was last night. Where I sit right now, I have throughout the day, beginning early this morning, received the news of another 4. So in 11 days, I'm looking at the death of 16 persons known personally to me. Two of the ones today would have been COVID, and the other two would have been cancer. It seems like that is becoming the norm of the days as we see them.
Let me ask you this, Chris. If you're joining us, Pastor Chris Roberts, joining us on the show, friend of the show as well, friend of the family. All right, so this is the thing now. Of those persons, and you said 16 people that you've lost, and so you're in the next level of grieving right now. We understand that. But this started off with a lot of grief due to COVID. How do you view COVID-19 in your world right now?
Of course, I guess like everybody else, you're just not fully understanding what it is, how it is, why it is. I do believe, though, that there is nothing happenstance with God, and that while God may not be the author of certain negative or evil devices or situations, I believe that God allows situations for whatever reasons. And so I believe that we're in this time where I think for me, for the most time, from the church and from a Christian perspective, the church and Christians are brought to a place of a testing of their true faith. There is a lot of people who claim a belief in God, who claim that God is their source and they are dependent upon Him. But I think this is the time when that claim is being put to the test. Personally, I believe we are COVID has moved us even further into what the Bible refers to as the end time. And I believe that we are in the midst of what we've been taught, albeit this is not what we were taught or how we were taught it would happen. I believe we are in the midst of the rapture. I believe that God is rapturing his people out. And some may ask, like I asked, well, if that's the case, why are I still here? He has the timer. Mm-hmm. He has the last say. Mm-hmm. And when he is ready, your name is going to be called. So the question remains, vaccinated or unvaccinated, will you be ready if your name is called?
You know, Chris, I smile a bit when you said Chris, it's the rapture, right? I smile a bit on that. Pastor Chris Hyla Roberts, right? I smiled a bit on that, saying that we're being raptured up. So, and I figure you're not meaning in a literal sense. Are you meaning in the literal sense?
Yeah. I mean, the rapture has to do with the church, the people of God, being taken out of the world and being caught up and prepared for the end of the world and the judgment of the world. I somehow believe, that is my personal belief, that that is where we are.
And my thought was, and I'm smiling a bit with it, right, because I can hear tons of you know, responses to that, right? But let's go to this part here, right? Because obviously, you know, the idea of the rapture for many are like, well, this isn't the first pandemic in the world. Pandemics are not new to us. These pandemics are new to us in this time, in this era. But when you think about, you know, losing so many people in such a short time, does it shift you? Because other people are saying, hey, listen, I listened to a Dr. Bartlett's interview with Shanique Miller yesterday. And he said that COVID has put him on a different frequency, right? Having it being to that level of how ill he was, he shifted to another frequency. Do you feel as if you've been impacted mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically by the amount of persons that have passed away so quickly in this time?
Most definitely. See. Let me say to those who say, "Oh, this is not the first pandemic." Fine, we're about to go into an election. This is not the first election, but you know how many people got caught off guard when the date was set, and they are not ready in terms of registered to vote. So, whether you think it is the rapture or not, really ain't got nothing to do with me. I mean, if you don't think so, don't make preparation. Don't ensure that you don't get left. If I am convinced, I was convinced that the election could be called at any time, so I went and did what I had to do to ensure I didn't get left. This pandemic and the amount of people, and I'm talking about people of faith. I'm not talking about people who are not of faith, but zooming in on the people of faith, strong faith, who have been called or who have died, however you want to do it. When I consider that, and I look at there's a young man, a friend of mine, who died today. It is my understanding that on Thursday he was okay, feeling well. By Sunday, he was in hospital. Yesterday, the doctors told his family all of his organs have shut down. The only thing operating is his liver, and he's not going to come out of this. So you're talking about from Thursday to Tuesday, this young man has gone from a healthy young man, I don't know that he's 40 yet, and to the point of his system having shut down. This thing is happening quickly. And so when you see that kind of thing happening, if it doesn't cause you to assess where you are with your relationship with eternity, and I particularly use the word eternity and not God, And I do so because there are those who may not necessarily subscribe to the God that I do. And that's fine. But I hope you believe in something, in an understanding that when this life is over, you are going to have to enter into an eternal situation. So if this COVID situation has not yet brought you, when you look at the amount of people who are dying, surprisingly, and just one day they're here and the next day they're gone, and you have the sensibility to understand that this very thing could happen to you. Not that you are afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. I'm just afraid to die without Christ or die outside of Christ. And so COVID has caused me to reevaluate my relationship with this God. The way I express my Christianity, and certainly caused me to be on a more heightened spirituality to ensure that if today or tomorrow my name is called, that I have not lived a life, that will not cause me to be in a better place eternally.
Chris, Pastor Chris Roberts joining us. Chris has been, you know, one of the things that, and I think a lot of us agree that, hey, this is one of those moments where you must do that introspection. I mean, as you mentioned, Chris, someone's here today, gone tomorrow. You could be on the phone with them half an hour ago. And, you know, even now, sending out prayers to a national figure such as Sawyer Boy, who is, you know, fighting for, you know, his health right now, right? And so everyone, please, if you are praying and you got a prayer list, add young Mr. Tomiko Sawyer to the list if you can. But it is one of those things. This is ravaging folks. And for folks who, you know, 16 people, two just today said with cancer, from cancer, give us an idea of how close these folks were in terms of where they're off, where they're mostly work or acquaintances, members from church, where they family. Give folks an idea, because that's a lot of people, Chris. I feel like you know more people than half of, you know, Nassau. So that's a lot of people.
Let me, with the exception out of that 16, Shanique, I mean, Nahaja, Shanique.
Freudian slip.
Nahaja. with in that number of 16, let me tell you this much. 2 days ago, I had some spare time and I finally did what I had been promising to do, go through my phone and make some deletions of numbers that I no longer needed. Can I tell you, from the time COVID started in March up to 2 days ago, I deleted 41 names out of my phone of friends and family members who have died. 41. Out of the 16 who have died from last week Sunday to today, there might be about 5 of them whose number would not have been in that number. Wow. So these are people who I had direct, regular connection to.
Wow. How do we get through this? How are you coping?
Other than praying, because it is prayer, is the Christian's resource. Because when you don't understand a thing, Miles Monroe said, you go back to its creator. And this whole thing, I don't understand. And so the only thing I could do is pray and seek God's guidance. But I will tell you what has been my medicine and what has been my therapy. And that is this thing called laughter. I had somebody ask me yesterday, but Chris, in all this grief you're experiencing, almost everything you posting on Facebook, you got people laughing. You can't be grieving and laughing. But what you don't understand is that laughter is the relief of my grief. Because the weight of this grief, if I don't laugh, it will sink me. And I want people to understand something. we talk a lot about pastors, and we got all our say about pastors, but imagine in this time, pastors are experiencing, and of course families are, but pastors are experiencing grief on a new level. Because they're having to bury, they're having to preach, they have to find the courage to stand and preach a sermon and commit the body of their friends and their family and their dear church members. And then, because you don't expect the family, the pastor to break emotionally, he has to try and hold himself so that he could be strong for the family. And then when he then be strong for the family, he's got to go find the corner to go cry in silence because he needs to release this grief that he's experiencing. So for me, Nahaja, how I making it, I just keep laughing. I find in something to laugh at. I find in something to make people laugh. I find in something to just pull me out of the despair of grief because this, let me tell you something. This year is heavy. This is heavy.
That's powerful words there, Pastor Chris, because you know what? I never even thought about it, Drew, in that how many, you know, as crazy as it is, somebody's doing the eulogy. Someone is telling the tale. Some pastor is at the graveside, you know, and imagine having someone so large in your ministry, so effective, and they told you can't do more than 20, and people want to grieve with the family. This is a lot. This is a lot. And I wonder with you, Pastor Chris Roberts joining us. You know, one of the things that I think nationally we may be grieving. Like there's a lot, and that grief, that cycle of grief has turned to anger, frustration, shock, denial, all of these things to deal with. They're going through these emotional stages of grief. And when someone comes to you and needs counseling, or when you, as yourself, probably need counseling as well, but when someone comes to you and in need of counseling, what do you share with them? What do you share with them? What do you share with them?
Naja, the difficulty right now is, let me give you an analogy of what's happening, an example or an analogy. Imagine everybody is in the water. Nobody could really swim. And everybody is trying to get to safety. But you see your sister, your brother drowning. You want to reach out to them. But it's now a matter of survival. Because you can't swim. So your first thought is, like they say when you get on the plane, put your mask on first before you try to, because it's a matter of survival now. And the reality is right now, Nahaja, everybody is touched one way or the other. Everybody is grieving. So it's a very difficult thing to be there for anybody, because everybody needs somebody to be there. And so I'm going to be as honest as I can. And if you judge me for this, then take it up with God. But I right now find it very difficult. Yes, I'm pulling on my faith. Yes, I'm pulling on my training. Yes, I'm pulling on my God. But I have a difficulty being there and opening myself right now to counsel anybody, because I need counseling. There's a lot about this I don't understand. And in a lot of instances, I feel it's going to be hypocritical of me to sit there and tell people it's going to get better when I am not yet convinced that it's going to get better. Yes, in my faith, I know that it's going to get better. But my emotions right now have me in that place of grief and turmoil. And many years ago, I heard a sermon, Nahaja, that came from the topic, you know, the scripture that says Weeping and pain endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the sermon topic was, how long the night? I'm sorry, but that's my question to God daily. God, I know joy coming in the morning. I know that things are going to get better in the morning. But God, how long is this night going to be? How long am I going to have to suffer in this? And listen, I don't necessarily expect God to answer because he's God and he's sovereign and he does what he will. But just to be able to know that I could ask and put the question to him, I put the question because there are those who say, oh, you shouldn't question God, but you're a liar. God don't have a problem with your question. It's the motive and the spirit in which you present your question. Mm-hmm. You are a parent. And if you tell your child to do something and your child asks you why with a sense of help me understand, that's one thing. But if your child questions you as if to question your ability to tell them to do it, that's something different. So God is not opposed to our questions if we don't understand. Mm-hmm. It is when we challenge his authority, and I'm not challenging his authority, but the reality for me, Nahaja, is I don't know how much help right now. And yes, I'm still Pastor Christopher Roberts. But my humanity, my emotions have me in a place where I don't know. I don't know how much help I can be to anybody else because I am hurting. I believe God. My faith is strong in God. But there is a human side of me that is grieving the loss of friends. I got friends upon friends sitting in the morgue waiting to be buried. And the challenging thing, Shanique, I keep calling you Shanique, the challenging thing, Nahaja, is you can't even properly say your goodbyes as we would normally do. Because COVID has us restricted 30 people to a funeral, and we can't have certain funerals. And I listen, I'm sorry if this don't work for you as a pastor, then you can turn the TV off and you ain't need to look at me. But you know, one thing for me, I'm gonna be real, and that's where I am, Nahaja. I don't know how much counsel I could give to anybody right now. Because I need God to talk to me.
Pastor Chris, Christopher Roberts, powerful words, Pastor Chris. And I think people appreciate your transparency. I think that there's a lot of people who totally understand and respect every word that you just said just now, because this is tough. 16 people you've lost. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. And, you know, we got to figure out how to get someone to, how do we help you? You know, how do we help you? 16 people. Chris, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And we certainly pray for all of those who are presently suffering. We pray for the many families in Nahaja. This thing is taking family in doubles and triples and more. This we're not just no longer dealing with death, that one family. We have three, two and three and four. And so these families are hurting. And so we pray for families. We pray for pastors and churches. There are churches who have three and four and five bodies waiting to be buried. And so this is not easy. And so we pray for those who are presently suffering, including Sawyer Boy. A national name, and that's why he's highlighted, but there's so much more. And we simply pray for them. We pray for one another. We pray for one another. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Christopher Hyla Roberts, thanks. Appreciate you, and appreciate the time that you gave us. Thank you so much, buddy. There are no words, yeah? There are no words. And this is the suffering that is going on behind the scenes. This is the suffering of many. And I can't even imagine knowing two very close people has broken me. Talking to someone today, and they're no longer there tomorrow. You know, imagine 16, right? And knowing that families are going, being taken, mother and son, you can imagine that vacancy when you lose one person and you see the clothes in the closet. But to lose two, to lose three, we have to be in prayer. I do believe in the power of prayer. I believe that there is no other author than God, that he can be a bomb, but loss is loss, boy, I tell you. How long the night? And I think that is the word, really, for us. How long the night for us in this country? Because, boy, I don't know how long the night. I feel like we haven't come close to finding an answer, come close to considering the many who are struggling to deal with this disease in their family. I had a lady reach out to me over the weekend for help for her mother who's in Andres. And I saw on her Facebook page, her mother died. Calling to find out if there was a concierge doctor, my Dr. Lockhart, asking for Dr. Lockhart and knowing Dr. Lockhart couldn't be of service anymore because her husband has died from COVID-19. And then to see the young lady's mother has passed away. And before she can even bring home. So this is, I mean, there's so much sorrow in this country, y'all, so much. And we have to be, I don't know how we are. And, you know, Chris said something, Pastor Chris said something so serious where he said, you know, we are, it's like you're all in the water. Some of us can swim, but we barely are able, you know, we're barely able. And now we're trying to survive. But I see my sister needing help. And I can't just act like I can't help. I have to do something. But we're now in survival mode. And now some people are trying to walk on your neck because they're drowning, and they're drowning you at the same time. But they're just trying to survive. And this thing is, look, y'all be in prayer. That's all I could say. Please pray. Please, please pray. Protect yourself. Do what you can, but pray. How long is the night? Joy will come in the morning. But Pastor Chris asked the question, how long is the night? We don't know how long this night will be. We don't know if we are in the night part where we get to, you know, we're closer to dawn. We don't know where we are. And I think that right now there seems to be no mitigation attempts. We are 179 out of 180 countries in our ability and response to COVID-19. We are second to last in our response. And I've not seen any sort of technique, any sort of strategy to move us up a notch. I've not seen any strategy. So how long the night? And if we have to wait for the same government or a new government, God help us, if there will be no reprieve, no solution, no attempt to mitigate this thing until after the 16th of September. How long the night? When we come back, we're going to switch gears a bit, because something that has come up also in this pandemic is that folks are spending their last to save their loved ones. And so finances are stretched when there was already none. So you add on that mounting financial pressure. And so we need to definitely, and I've been so fortunate, we will have Dr. Nakia Forbes join us, not today, but sometime hopefully this week. So between tomorrow or Friday, to get some answers on some very pertinent questions and to see what she has to say. But people are spending $200 at minimum a visit for a doctor to come to your house. How much does it cost for oxygen, right? Then on top of that, you know, I've gotten word that there are some big changes afoot. And, you know, I won't preempt anything until I get all of the final details, but that will also concern us fiscally in this country. There's a lot of people are spending just for healthcare. So we're going broke whilst we're trying to save lives. We in a tough space, y'all. How long the night? special prayers to Pastor Chris Roberts as he's grieving, and to everyone out there who's grieving. Man, we'll be back after this. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Many people wonder, what makes Boost Academy unique? Maybe it's our 8-to-1 student-staff ratio, the emphasis we place on student individuality, our focus on numeracy, literacy, and creating better citizens by sharpening students' critical thinking skills. One of our many talented teachers, program facilitators, and mentors. Or just maybe it is our commitment to taking full responsibility for your child's education, no hidden fees or costs. Regardless of what it is, let us help your child reach their full potential. Boost Academy is currently enrolling students of grades 4 through 12. Visit www.boostbahamas.com to apply now.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers and residents of Corridor Avenue between Market Street and Blue Hill Road that the corporation will be carrying out improvement works for 15 days from August 18, 2021 to September 6, 2021. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. As a result, customers should note that they may experience some interruption in water supply, and residents and the general public should note that there will be interruptions in traffic flow around the work area daily, resulting in traffic diversions. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused as they work to improve their level of service.
Hello, Bahamas. My name is Dr. Dwayne Sands. I was born and raised in Centerville, in the heart of the valley, Nassau, Bahamas. I'm a proud Bahamian. I've been fortunate to represent the great people of Elizabeth for the last 5 years. It has always been my dream to serve my country, and I have been involved in the political process on the front line since 2009. I am very, very proud of the support of my family who have been with me from the beginning and who are still with me to this day. In particular, my wife, Larika, and all of my children, and actually there's quite a few of them. I'm actually a cardiovascular surgeon. What that means is I take on the sickest people with the biggest problems every day. And so for me, the political process to deal with the challenges facing our country is pretty much par for the course. It's what I do every day. I am happy to be a part of the great team of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. We are indeed Elizabeth Strong.
This has been a paid political announcement by the FNM candidate for Elizabeth.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We're back. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. I got some text messages I want to read before we move on. And I kind of, let me see. I have too many things going on in this phone here. So forgive me for those who were texting. I had to go and get my device that was nice and dying. Not dead yet, but dying. So let's get some good feedback here. Great show, Mrs. Black. Even if all of the independent groups had decided to come together at this late stage in the game, they are days late and many dollars short. Very good point. Hi, man. Someone is lying about the vaccine. Love the new jingle. Who's the artist? I can't remember her name. Sammy Starr produced it. She's a new singer. I will get the name for you because it was kind of hard for me to pronounce. You know, the young people, these got these Fandango names. Like, you can't just name, you know, like Susan Superstar, rest in peace, something, something. Words I can pronounce, but then I got to put these things with apostrophes and number signs. I can't decipher that limerick, that code, but she's good. Someone says, you know what's sad about your story? That you had to tell it. We should have heard that information from the Ministry of Health. The death of a fully vaccinated individual infected with COVID should have been communicated to the public, irrespective of cause of death. And not to imply vaccines don't work, but to drive home two points. One, everybody vaccinated or not needs to be vigilant. And two, we as a ministry are monitoring our program very carefully. I will agree with you with that, but I will give them a pass because this had happened on Saturday. And I told you all on Monday, I think it was. So knowing that the Ministry of Health has a delay, and I gather that those investigated deaths, you know, the 47 under investigation, I think that a lot of them are persons who died at home. So I don't recall, and maybe it was answered, I don't recall the question being asked, what deems a case worthy to be investigated? What puts a case in that number? And how long does it take to investigate? Because the number for the investigated cases isn't going down. What does it take to investigate those cases? Where are the bodies whilst waiting to be investigated? Are they in the morgue? Or have you gotten all of your samples and they're just going through testing? Those are questions that we need to ask and to determine, because maybe as a family, you know someone has passed away from COVID. You can say, here's the information that you need to determine or to put this in the number. Because we know also in Long Island, for the record, Long Island is going through its own way, pandemic, its issues. Long Islanders are calling out, reaching out to me and saying, Nahaja, please, we need help. We need more testing. We need more facilities. We're running out of tests. We were using expired tests. This is what is coming out of Long Island to me. First thing this morning, giving me a list of persons and photos of persons who died. And one face, actually, my husband reminded me that one of those ladies we met when we were on our trip there in Long Island just a few short months ago, weeks ago, I think it was. And families are very scared and concerned. I mean, the lines are long for vaccinations, which is a good thing. But we need to also be able to help people by contact tracing, by testing. Ministry of Health needs to put more boots on the ground. And if we can't get boots on the ground, can you hire Ministry of Health some people to do work that is not medical, or, you know, that may not necessarily require someone having a medical degree? And I gather that's what contact tracing is. We need more of those. Can you bring in private entities to assist with testing on the family islands? What are we doing to help the most vulnerable, or especially on the family islands where there are no clinics? You cannot afford an outbreak on family islands where there's no medical facilities to take care of them. Are there ventilators on these islands? Are the clinics working? If not, do what we must, mitigating features to ensure that there aren't any outbreaks on these islands. If there is, we have a quarantine facility. We have the proper testing kits and personnel for the amount, and let it be a per ratio. 3,500 people, what is the math on how many folks should be able to be there? What is the marker when the Ministry of Health is alerted that you now need to take Ministry of Health officials to a family island? How do we protect? See, all of this is protecting and helping to fortify if New Providence burns down. And God help us in terms of COVID and the amount of positive cases. If we're not able to, we must be able to cordon off. And I remember the government was trying this by, if you travel to the family islands, you need X, Y, and Z. But where it became hypocritical was that we knew that yachts were going in, foreigners were going in, but Bahamians had to pay more and extra to go into their own islands, but we couldn't afford it. So that's the hypocrisy of it. So that's where the pushback came, right? So we need to make these things, you know, very much transparent, make it even across the board, but use mitigating features before things go to hell. Have markers, triggers, that if we get to X, then that calls into Y. If we get to Y, past Y, it calls into Z. But we know why we're doing X, so we don't get to Y or Z. I don't know. Hello, Nahaja. We, the Bahamian people, are concerned that the Prime Minister, who is a doctor, and his cabinet are trying hard to sell the vaccine to save lives with false information. Why? From Grand Bahama. Again, this is the question or the concern of the Bahamian public, that the information is not 100% viable, right? So that data is being omitted or data is not being collected at all. How does the Ministry of Health, it's all a matter of trust, and there's a deficit of trust. It's very much a deficit of trust, especially when reporters are running down your prime minister in the middle of a pandemic and he's not answering those questions, any pertinent questions. Why did you call an election in the middle of a pandemic? Why did you do the proroguing process that led to the election? Is to save face? Why all of that? What are we doing to mitigate these challenges? Okay, if there will not be a lockdown, has the theory of flattening the curve totally been made irrelevant? All right? What are we doing with the shorter curfews in the evening? Is that helping? Where's the data? People are dying, waiting for leadership. That's it. It's an abdication of his responsibility as the leader whose first responsibility is to take care of the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This is the disappointment, you know. The disappointment is that we're left to fend for our vices, but we don't control the purse strings. Persons are dying from non-vaccinated and vaccinated. How are they determining these variants? By hearsay or propaganda? Where is the real truth? From Grand Bahama, we are listening. Shout out Grand Bahama. Love y'all. You know what's sad about the story? Okay, that one there. Can't be the rapture. The Christians didn't die. They just were not. I guess they ran. That text didn't finish. Hi, man. Someone is lying about the vaccine. Blame the evil demon of this world who wants to dominate the world. They're responsible for this virus. Najin, guess it's wonderful and refreshing to hear our pastor express himself, but Jehovah God Almighty said that we must repent in these times and he shall heal our land. God bless the Bahamas forevermore. Najin, you are, oh, this is a good one. Look at God. You are loved and appreciated by many Bahamians and residents. Your talk shows bring truth and excellent perspectives. So this is why we listen to you. Blessings and love always from Grand Bahama. Okay, this got to be one person because Grand Bahama don't love me this good. I wonder if this is like one person. I'm wondering, but I like you, Mr. Grand Bahama. You are my person, okay? All right, let's bring on my guest. What's been going on here now also, is that we have financial issues all going through, right? Financial issues are happening through all of this, and that is what the challenges are as well. Whilst we are trying to get better, you know how expensive vitamins are? You all ever try to really buy vitamins? These vitamins ain't easy. These vitamins are, you try to get that good CoQ, what is it, CoQ10? Get that good stuff. Whip out some real money. And the amount of vitamin E and zinc and D you got to take, you ain't taking one or two. You need like 3,000 cc's of X, Y, and Z. This thing ain't cheap. So we found in COVID, right? During this time, obviously, we've seen an economic change. I used to do this show at the ending of last year, the beginning of this year, where we would talk about finances, right? Someone says, there are some who love truth tellers in Grand Bahama. Oh, snap. Annie. I said, yes, we do. I love you guys. Thank you so much. So there's this challenge here, right? The challenge is that finances are... My good friend Nathaniel Butler. I don't even know how to say this. My good friend Nathaniel Butler from Druba Solutions joining me on the show. And Nat, this is the challenge. You and I have been talking. We need to do a show with all of this wave and this medical drama and all of this about money and making the little stretch. And I don't know how you make nothing from nothing, but I don't know how we are going to... make this. So you and I got to think optimistically. We got to think out the box. How do we help Bahamians make the little become something? And your mic is muted, Nat, but Nathaniel Butler, CEO of Druba Solutions. Welcome, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's so great to be back on the show. To your point, I'm excited for when we have that opportunity to have a more thorough conversation in regards to what to do now post-COVID and during COVID.
Yeah.
You're right. Resources for most individuals have been exhausted. And then to add to that, when you look at the amount of persons who are affected by COVID, you have from individuals pertaining to those who have medical needs. We have many individuals who have family members who would have passed. In addition to that, we also have the challenge of living life in this COVID environment and school is opening. Uh-huh. As a parent, I totally understand, sympathize with those parents who have young ones who may be considering removing their child from the regular school environment. I know everything is virtual, but we also have to take into consideration that not everybody did well in that academic year when we were in the hybrid learning. You know your child. So now additional funds may have to be deployed in regards to helping the child in this new environment with tutoring. Consumption will be higher in the household because now we have more people home.
Yeah.
Whether it's children home, whether it's spouses or significant others, or you yourself being home now, the temptation for just basic household needs. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned it as well. You know, we'll I guess later on, we'll talk about that.
The household, that's one of those things where we have to, the expense, right? The expenses of COVID are somewhat considered benign, like you don't see it, but I can tell everybody even more while they're home. All of a sudden, we're emotional eaters, right? And we already have, and the cost of living is kind of high for quite a bit of people. Some of us will be fine, right? It is expensive, but you have that room or cushion. But for the majority of us, that cost of living when you're home and your babies are home, you don't want to give them ramen noodles every time. You don't want to create that bad health syndrome or buy the corned beef every time. But, you know, these things could stretch. And so we're packing or we're getting more unhealthy, right, because we're eating unhealthy foods. So that is not good in a time of COVID. But we're also spending more because people got to eat. We got to pay now. The light bill went up. The water bill went up because we're all home.
Yep. So couple things I want to say to that. And I mean, this is, it's not helping, but just putting it in a little bit more context. Sometime back last year, the Public Policy Institute from the University of Bahamas would have done a extensive survey in regards to the livable wage. One of the things that they would have stated in their survey that in New Providence, it takes about $2,625 to live as an individual. And in Grand Bahama, $3,550 per month. Okay? And I'm sure that's not taken in consideration a COVID-related environment. Now, for a household of four, in New Providence, it's $4,000, and in Grand Bahama, it's about $5,750. Now, I want to open your eyes to something as well. In 2019, there was this company that does on consumer price and crime and quality of healthcare and et cetera, et cetera. And they came out with this world's most expensive country to live in, the cost of living index country by country, right? And in 2019, the Bahamas ranked fourth as one of the top most expensive countries to live in. And then in 2020, they ranked sixth. And in 2021, we ranked 10th. Now, I say this, just trying to put it in context here. For the last 3 years, based on this survey, from the last 3 years, we live in one of the most expensive countries in the world, straight up. The cost of living, talking about affordable, it's $2,600 in New Providence for a single individual, $3,500 for a single individual in Grand Bahama. For a family of four, $4,000. And for a family of four in Grand Bahama, is $5,700, respectively.
Yeah.
Now, we still have 16,000 persons who are on the unemployment line with NIB and getting assistance. We still have two major hotels that are still closed. We're waiting for them, Malia and also Sandals as well. Mm-hmm. All right. In addition to that, we still have small and medium-sized businesses that are somewhat affected by the restrictions. They're limited in what they can do. We're grateful that we're trying our endeavor best to try to get to some place of recovery, but the numbers are saying otherwise at this stage. I am saying to you, Nahaja, and those who are listening, when you look at trying to make the numbers work, it is extremely difficult when everything is maxed out, okay? And also just putting it in perspective, the credit bureau the other day in another forum, the company, the organization responsible for the credit bureau, would have made mention too that the credit scores, the information that they're collecting is from 2018. Come forward.
Say that again. Break that news for everyone right here, because it ain't broken news, right? But for my people, because I haven't said it yet. Yes. When will the credit bureau start collecting credit rating data?
We were typically under the assumption that would have been in 2020, come forward, right? Mm-hmm. But in a forum, a seminar or webinar of sorts, the organization responsible for the credit bureau, their representatives would have stated that they would have started gathering information as far back as 2018 coming forward. Now, let's put in perspective now. In 2019, September 2019, we had Dorian. And yes, that was in Grand Bahama and that was also in Abaco. But we in New Providence and many of the other family islands had to help family members. And it took a while. Some people still have not recovered. Some people are still in the process to recovery. Mm-hmm. Then let's add to that now a Dorian. We are stretched. Paychecks, for the most part, in many of our public service entities and sectors, they are fighting or they are marching or they are striking or threatening to strike because they've not seen a pay increase. Mm-hmm. Let's think about this now.
Yeah.
And then to add to that, the cost of living is still going higher, not in regards to anything pertaining to the government or what's going on here, but just the value chain, the supply chain, transportation, just bringing goods into the country, just globally and worldwide, it has increased. Inflation worldwide has increased.
Yep.
And now...
But we can't print our own dollar, though. So all that inflation means nothing to us. In terms of us, it affects us, but we can't even combat it with our own printing of money, right? So hold on, let me ask you this question, and this was a good question. Someone says, we know the numbers and the impact. The question is, how can we change our behavior and make modest lifestyle changes to mitigate the serious financial crisis we are facing at the macro level? Excellent question, Sherman.
No, I really love that question, and because it really, I think the question speaks really to the answer. From a national level, it really comes down to this. We collectively going to have to take personal responsibility for ourselves. Now, it's still different. It's still difficult in a complex environment. This is not an environment where it's easy to start a business. It's still not an environment where it is easy to transact with clients. This is still not an environment where as an employee, you are without restrictions. Some people are working from home. Some people are on rotations going to work. So it's so much limitations. But at the same time, we have to come back to the basics. And the basics is simply this. You're going to have to find a way to increase your income, whether it is offline or online or a combination of both. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to find a way to reduce your expenses to a livable rate. Of course, I do not believe in living way below your means because you could hurt yourself more than help yourself in that kind of sense. But we won't go any further into that, but we got to reduce the expenses to a manageable, livable rate. And then last but not least, we also have to take into consideration of making sure that we're putting ourselves in a position that we have healthy savings, healthy insurance products, healthy retirement products, healthy college savings products, And it's easier said than done. Everybody's at a different place in their life. The lifestyle for every individual, it differs from person to person. But I do believe that with more the awareness of financial literacy from entities like Get Money Smart, like the Securities Commission and Being Inspired Investor, and other new up-and-coming platforms that is making it a little bit easier for us now to get a second stream of income or a third stream of income of sorts, or even just to get funding, in a sense, to start a business, I believe there's still a silver lining. There's hope in the midst of so much despair. I believe that we as Bahamians, we're going to pivot individually in small communities and small vacuums. And as we become the light to others or an example to others, you'll find that others start to embrace the collaborative efforts and invest and work together to help the overall community, whether it's their household or whether it's their extended family or their other communities that they have now joined.
Let me ask you something. We're talking about financial, really how to manage your finances, your meager finances, with my good friend Nathaniel Butler, Druber Solutions, with me on the show. Someone asked a question. Sunny said, how do you save with no job? And let me ask you this. This is a real question.
Go ahead.
Is it the responsibility of the neighbor? Because I'm thinking at this point, boy, when you have nothing, I learned this, okay, long and short story, and I see my next guest will be joining us in a minute. Long and short story, at our business back in the day, I met this wonderful Indian couple, right? Wonderful Indian couple, moved here, worked here, you know, one is a doctor, the wife, fabulous people. And they would tell of the Indian culture, right? And how when, you know, they shared a story about how the brother who was an engineer, one of their parents died and the other, and leaving one a widow, the mother a widow, and another brother lost his job, right? So they were already taking care of the widowed mother, because that's what they do. But when the other brother lost the job, they all left from where they were, moved back home to support the brother, now with his mom, who had lost their job, right? And he talked about how even when they moved here, there was a community that said, you need a home? We'll help you fund your home. So that you now are going to have the leg up. You start at a particular level so that then we will, and we pay this forward, right? Are we at a place now? Because I don't believe that many have it, you know. I think that,
no.
So the question is, if you don't have an income, you can't save. You're looking for help. So then is it incumbent on those who have a little bit of something to multiply and then pay it forward? Because I'm thinking we've kind of forgotten our neighbors. We've forgotten our family. We don't have that culture anymore. And when we get stuff, we leave folk behind.
No, I think it's twofold. I think it's a combination of if you are in need of help, you have to get the help. But at the same time, there's still going to be that group of persons who have to be in position to give out the help. I think it's a hand-in-hand partnering with the government because the government can't do everything on their own. I think there are some communities, there are some individuals who have put themselves in the position, they have helped. Now, what I've also discovered in this type of environment, a lot of people still do not know where to go to get help, whether it's food assistance, whether it is assistance with rent, whether it is assistance with food or shelter. So that's a part of it as well. And we do have public sector services in that area, and also private sector services in that area, but we won't dive into that today. And then on the other end of it, for the person who's getting help, we also have to be mindful that this is seasonal. We have to continuously put ourselves in the position to better our condition. It is not easy. I saw in one of the comments, if you get a job, the job itself may not be paying anything. Well, remember now, prior to you getting that job, there was no job, so there was no income. And you getting that job might be a stepping stone into getting probably a better job or creating a side hustle along with that job or moving on to something else. So we have to understand in the context of our own situation, and it's a case-by-case basis, what is the next action step for you? And then once you would have made that step, what is the next action step for you? And take it one step at a time. I honestly fully believe that those who are well off or those who are better off, that they're going to do their part and assist. But at the same time, they cannot assist to a degree where they burn out all of their resources.
Yeah.
So that's going to be done in moderation. That's going to be done in within reason. And at the same time, those who are looking for the help, once you would have received help or ongoing help, you still have to put yourself out there. What I've discovered, Nahaja, to be honest with you, a lot of people don't like rejection. So they put their resume out there, get rejected, and kind of sit back and want somebody to just like give them the call and say, show up on a Monday kind of thing without having to really put themselves out there. Now, there are people who are out there doing that, and they have not been successful. But here's the most important thing I want to say to everyone. If you're going to survive in 2022, 2023, and henceforth in the Bahamas and in this new economy, this new world that we're in, it's going to be digital. You got to increase your skills from a digital perspective.
I agree. And the central bank made the free us so I could go back to buying my cryptocurrency now because they're running me out. All of that savings I could have had. But we have something that is interesting as well. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we had those small segments of 10 minutes and stuff with AWACX. We're going to have a longer segment with them. It's very important what they've done. And I promise that I would give them more time and more room on the air to ventilate this idea, this business that they've created, and how so many of us can be able to get this opportunity and dive in. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, and someone says, give us our natural resources. I'm with you. Enough of that now. Let's get this natural resources thing sorted out. By the way, for the record, that select committee has done away with now since the House has been dissolved. But we are moving on, I guess. We'll be back after this. When we come back, Darcy Jr., Ramik Jr., joining us from AWACX. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It is never easy to witness nature's wrath. One single named path of destruction over the course of a few hours, sometimes minutes, sometimes seconds, can change your life forever. When a hurricane strikes, be prepared. Let the insurance professionals at J.S. Johnson protect you, your property, and the ones you love. Be prepared. Visit the insurance experts at jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers and residents of Corder Avenue between Market Street and Blue Hill Road that the corporation will be carrying out improvement works for 15 days from August 18, 2021 to September 6, 2021 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. As a result, customers should note that they may experience some interruption in water supply, and residents and the general public should note that there will be interruptions in traffic flow around the work area daily, resulting in traffic diversions. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused as they work to improve their level of service.
Hello, Bahamas. My name is Dr. Dwayne Sands. I was born and raised in Centerville, in the heart of the valley, Nassau, Bahamas. I'm a proud Bahamian. I've been fortunate to represent the great people of Elizabeth for the last 5 years. It has always been my dream to serve my country. and I have been involved in the political process on the front line since 2009. I am very, very proud of the support of my family who have been with me from the beginning and who are still with me to this day. In particular, my wife, Larika, and all of my children, and actually there's quite a few of them. I'm actually a cardiovascular surgeon. What that means is I take on the sickest people with the biggest problems every day. And so for me, the political process to deal with the challenges facing our country is pretty much par for the course. It's what I do every day. I am happy to be a part of the great team of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. We are indeed Elizabeth Strong.
This has been a paid political announcement by the FNM candidate for Elizabeth.
Got joining us right now, DRC Ramming Jr. from Arawak X, and of course, my good friend Nat Butler. Nat, stay right there, but DRC, let me get you first before we go any further. I know you know, of course, Nathaniel Butler will be joining us from Druber Solutions in a minute, but DRC, let me just say congratulations. Arawak X has launched its first two companies, two exciting companies.
Launched.
Man, so tell us a bit about it. I know you couldn't tell us anything about it last week or Monday, whatever that was, but tell us a bit about the companies that have launched.
So as I said last week, and thank you for inviting me back on the show. I know we got cut off midway through. So the two companies, one of them is Red Lobster, mm-hmm. and the other is Bahama MiFi, which is a augmented reality digital company. And so so isn't it exciting, right? Exciting.
You know, it's that's exciting.
We have always had good ideas here in the Bahamas. And as you can see, those are two very different types of businesses. But they can still legitimately add value to people's lives and really, really make people, their customers, better. And so, you know, for us, it's a pleasure to be a part of them coming to the markets. Ultimately, those companies have to run their businesses, but now they have the opportunity to be public, essentially. Yeah.
You know, what's so exciting about this and interesting too, that brings questions to me. What's exciting about this is that I've said it before, and I want people to understand how vital this is and how amazing that we have two businesses that I believe, personally, the tech one is my excitement, but I know behemoths eat. So the Red Lobster one, for sure, you know, that ain't closing down no time soon. And so I want every part of that as behemoths in our belly. We eat out, right? And God help.
Yeah, you know, there's a special place for food. You know,
that's an understatement. We like food. Listen, they tried to shut down the restaurants in the pandemic. We're like, hold on now, we need to eat. There's only so much fast food we could eat. And, you know, I want to ask this question. What makes you, or what comes before you guys when you decide? Do you decide? Do you vet? Does Arawak X do a lot of its projections and forecasting to determine, hey, is this company viable for our clientele? Who is the client? I have tons of questions, you can tell.
Yes. So when it comes to the businesses, they do go through a vetting process. However, no part of the vetting process do we judge the idea. Because the truth is with ideas is that no one really knows which ideas are going to work or not. The market decides, the customers decide whether ideas are going to work or not. And so what ended up happening, in the 70s, really, there's this startup, a new exchange launched in America called NASDAQ, because the technology companies weren't getting funded in the old way. And they weren't getting funded because people said, oh, computers, who needs those things? They don't make any sense. You know, I'm good with my pen and paper. And so they had to go somewhere else. And that's why NASDAQ formed. And that's kind of why ARWACX was formed, because many of these businesses that we have were not getting funding through the traditional means. And so we are here to fill a gap of in that up to $5 million space, where before ARWACX, there was no way to get funding outside of, unless you knew somebody or you were part of the old boys club.
Yeah.
So that's the truth. And so we've seen the response has been amazing. Literally, I go to sleep and then we wake up with 300, 400, 500 new signups. We're onboarding people every day. We're getting better at onboarding people every day. Hopefully for people who are listening in on the show, our team is trying to be very, very communicate with you. So where you are in the process. So far, 640 people have been fully onboarded.
Wow.
We have another 1,800 that are have started the process in some way. And so it's, I did warn people to get signed up last week.
You did, and mind you, I started and I haven't done it yet. So I'm like, shame on me, because now I need to know, because there are things, and I'm going to bring that on. And you're familiar with Nathaniel, right? So let's bring on Nathaniel. Nathaniel is my.
Hi, how are you doing, man?
Great, man. Great to see you again, man.
Nathaniel is my my financial advisor, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Nathaniel is my guy who makes sure that I make sense when I'm thinking of something. And I thought none better than to join us during this conversation, because I want people to, and someone says, I've signed up. You know, people showing off, right? I started the process also. My good friend Agatha started the process. So folks are excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to know a bit more, like, how do you make a determination? Right now, we're starting at the bottom, right? DRC and that. We're starting at the bottom. We're starting at the foundation of a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, as you said, DRC, you guys are not judging the idea,
no.
Right? You want to just make sure that... No, because that is left up to us to judge the idea.
That's right. That's right. That's, like I say, I mean, businesses speak to different people. Like you were talking about Bahama MiFi and how excited you were about that.
Yeah.
It's, if you don't know anything about technology, you're going to be like, no, definitely no. So that's just how it is. That's how ideas are. That's how businesses are. Not everybody comes from every kind of business or is used to being in every kind of business. So we as a market decided long ago that we're not going to be the judge of ideas, but we are the judge of structure, because we do know that we're business people ourselves. There are 1,000 ways to die in business. There are 1,000 ways to get it right, but you can learn the ways to die and just make sure. No, you can't do that. You have to have some corporate governance. You have to have some some legal structure. Obviously, none of these companies that will ever be listed on ARWACX will be somebody's cousin with an idea. It'll be somebody.
That's it. We love that. Okay. This is structure, right? This is structure, and
yes,
making sure that someone asked a great question. Can we sign up to ARWACX with an international bank account? So this is a Bahamian abroad. I'm wanting to invest locally. Can they do so?
Yes. By regulation, they can.
Awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so it's a sunny. Look at that. That's great news. I want to ask this, Nat, for persons who are trying to figure out how to invest. And by the way, the startup cost of an investment is pretty inexpensive. I think it's $16 for...
16 in one of them, yeah.
Yeah, for and 25 in the other, right? Or something like... Yeah, so, and I won't lie to you, I'm going for the technical one right away. Like, that's my one. I'm going for the tech one. That idea I've been thinking about from, like, I was 10 and never smart enough to do anything about it. I just knew. Not from when I was 10. I'm lying. Of course, from when I was like 28. So anyways, Nat, what would you say would be advice you would give to someone in determining how much to invest, what to invest in when you look at something like ARWACX?
I think we should follow a simple rule of six. I know Darcy would agree with me with some of my points, what I would share in a bit. But The simple rule of six, the first thing you want to do is first and foremost, before we look at even investing into the stock, we got to look at how much we have to invest. I'm a big proponent of not using the school fee money, the BPL money, the mortgage money to invest.
We want
to make sure that we have. And so we call that money, from a technical standpoint, we call that the risk capital. If I were to lose all of it, I'm still in a good position. So this, the whole purpose of this particular fund is just for the purpose of investing. After that, the second thing we want to look at is how long we want to stay in the market to invest, all right? For some persons, this might be for retirement. So they might look at their age until they reach the age of retirement. They have that frame or whatever that number is. They have that time in place. For others, it might be based on their investment. So they're looking at 15, 20, 30 years out. The beautiful thing about the platform, I'm not talking about the business, the platform, between now and until we hit the new year, there are a number of exciting companies that are going to come on stream. Some are going to be existing businesses, and you might possibly be able to get dividends as early as potentially, and this is me talking, not Darcy, potentially as early as probably even next year or the year after that.
Well, hold on, real dividends, though, not the ones that I
get. I'm talking about the fake set. I'm talking about the real set.
That's real dividends?
So, real dividends. No. This is money. This isn't play. We're doing, this is about, so we as the platform, so we're not allowed to give investment advice. So
no,
please,
no, we can't.
look to investment advisors such as Nat. We are just here to make sure things are structured properly, and so that gentlemen advisors such as Nat can give you proper advice, and that he knows that he's not selling something that is just hot air. Because if markets like us didn't exist, you'd be playing in a very, 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 you'd be in the private equity space, which is like wild, wild, super wild west. You have to be very, very sophisticated to be in that. So we're a middle ground between being super sophisticated and being super, super sure and protected. There's that space in there where businesses are moving from crazy wild, wild west to slow growing, stable as could be, you know. And so we're in that middle ground.
Yeah. And that, I think, helps us. So, Nat, go ahead. Your thoughts on that.
I'm in agreement with him. And that brings me to point number three. And I'm going to give you the other 4, 5, and 6 points very quickly. That brings me to point number three, understanding the platform, what role RYX plays. It's just an exchange. Understanding the purpose of the exchange, understanding that it is under the regulation of the Securities Commission. So if something is not right, you have someone who you can go to in being the Securities Commission. Now, the last three points. Invest in areas you understand and know. Don't mess with an area you do not understand. As much data information persons may be able to provide for you, you might not be in the best person to assess the situation to see whether or not there's opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I would say areas that you are quite familiar with, quite aware of, invest in those areas. The second thing you want to look at too is look at the numbers. Each one of these companies that are going to be on this platform, they have to provide basic information where it is existing financials or forecasting. They have to provide a series of information of the type of business it is, what their service and product, and what problem they are trying to solve, and also the financial and the management team as well, to see whether or not these persons have the experience enough, once given them the funding, that they're able to execute on what it is that they're putting forth to you. So now, you got to look at the numbers. So that's my fifth point. The last point is, and this is big, you need to assess how big the market is. Keep in mind now, what I love about, and I'm just going to use the two examples that exist. What I love about the two examples that were mentioned, one, a tech company that focuses on tourism. Well, the whole entire Caribbean relies heavily on tourism. So there's great potential there. Now, we just have to figure out what is the strategy of that company in regards to the market, in regards to the size of the market. The other company has plans to expand into other Caribbean territories. So also that we have to take into consideration. Will COVID play a factor in their development?
Yeah.
There's so much we have to take a look at. So I'm saying these are my six. Know how much money you're going to invest in. Know how long you're going to stay within the market. And then, of course, understand the role of IOWAC-X. Once you would have done that, then the next step is invest in areas you have understanding about. Mm-hmm. Get the information that is on the platform, not from your cousin who's broke. On the platform. Watch the videos. I understand. Everybody's so, opinionated. What's going to work for what's not going to work.
I see a question here talking about, you know, we're joking a lot about our cousins. You have to understand that business happens through a corporate entity. That's what we're talking about, structure. So your cousin with an idea that is leader of a company is not your cousin with an idea. So if he's not structured to even take on investors, not structured to even, because you can't own shares in people. You can only own shares in companies. So that's important to remember.
It's not about personality. It's about a company. Let me ask you this. Someone asked a question. Is there a guarantee that dividends will be issued? I know that with the structure of some companies, paying dividends is optional. What is that?
So there is never a guarantee or anything in this life. And anyone who tells you there's a guarantee is lying to you. So that's the first thing. Now, that being said, the companies on IOWAC-X have to declare what they intend to do in terms of dividend policy. And so you can look at that, talk with your financial advisor, look at that and make a determination as to whether or not that fits your investment profile. Because some companies in the United States, like Amazon, notoriously doesn't give dividends. They take all their money and they pour it back into growth. For some people, they're cool with that. For others, they have to have their dividends. They have to have their Coca-Cola stocks. They have to have their Nabisco. And that's okay. And so we're just here to provide tools for the market participants to use to make it so that you can live the life that you want. And if you want to live the life that you want, you have to have the money to live the life that you want. That's just the reality.
Let me ask this to Nat on this. What percentage? Is there a percentage of one's disposable income? You know, when we're learning about saving or budgeting, that sort of pay yourself first or do this 20%, that's all yours. Is there a particular percentage that you would suggest? I know we're about to wrap up right now, but a particular percentage that you would suggest that someone would invest, put into an investment?
Well, I would say it all depends on the individual. If you're dealing with individuals with literally no debt, they can put in a large percentage of their income if they choose this particular route for an investment vehicle. Keep in mind, this platform is still competing against real estate and other forms of investment as well. Uh-huh. So if I were to put a number, this is just me speaking. If I were to put a number to it, if you have no debt and you love crowdfunding and you love businesses and dividends and that sort of stuff, I would say go as low as 20%, which you have to lose. But if you're dealing with someone with debt, and massive debt, I would say try to get out of that as much as possible or try to generate another stream of income first before you dive wholesale within the market. I do not want to paint the picture that this is a savior for in regards to an income. Like, hey, put all your money in this. And,
doesn't work that way.
You really need a plan. You know, there's different strategies that can be employed in this. I'm excited to see what all businesses are going to come on stream. And I'll tell you this, my best advice to most humans who are in a lot of debt, if you eliminate all of the debt that you have, right? Remember now, this is a large portion of money being paid out from your salary. You're not used to it. Before you put it back into your saving or before you put it into spending, take a portion of that and you could use that money on a monthly basis, upload it to an account of some sort, or even this platform, and buy stocks. Like, literally.
That's a great, that's an option. That's great practical advice.
Yeah.
It's great practical advice. And I will, to add to what Nat is saying, and what he's saying is a very viable strategy. And so people, please do listen to what he's saying. Like I say, I'm not allowed to give investment advice. However, that being said, when you get used to living in a certain way, when you get some more money, the prudent people stay living at that way, and then they invest above that.
Yeah.
And then once you've amassed a certain amount, it's actually quite easy to invest. That's where the compounding effect of stuff happens. So if you can live, if you keep your expenses like this, while your income goes like this, you get to invest all of that extra. So,
guys, listen.
I mean, I guess the people on the radio couldn't hear see that, but
I saw the sign language. That was good, but nobody saw it on there on the radio. Listen, Darcy, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm very impressed with the company. I think it is a blessing, and I'm happy that it's up and running. And thank you so much for being here.
I'd be remiss to say that I have a wonderful team of rock stars.
Oh, I know.
I'm just the spokesperson.
I know.
So
you're a good spokesperson, though.
Yes. All right, guys.
All right, we gotta go. You're listening to the Hit Back with Nahaja Black, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Everyone, have a great day. Please continue to keep everyone in prayer. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
Rejuvenate, refresh, treat yourself. Immerse yourself in total comfort. Pamper yourself. After all, you're worth it. Relax. Rid yourself of all life stresses. At Baja Retreat Anti-Aging Spa, you will find everything you need to enhance your body and spirit. Call today at 323-6711 and begin your journey to serenity at Baja Retreat Anti-Aging Spa.
Elevate your home with BTC's super fast fiber internet plan for the best speeds to stay connected. Get 50% more savings with us and speeds starting at 100 megabits per second up to 600 megabits per second. Enjoy the ultimate internet experience for all your work, study, and entertainment needs. Plus, get unlimited mobile benefits when you add it to your home internet plan. Upgrade or sign up today. Visit any BTC store or btcbahamas.com. Conditions apply.
In the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, this government was nowhere to be seen.
Your aid is coming from the U.S. What are you getting from the Bahamian government?
Nothing at all.
Survivors questioned if help from the government would ever arrive.
As relief supplies are now finally arriving, volunteers complain about Bahamian government red tape.
At this point in time, we are on our own, and we're trying to get our government officials, please come down here and show your faces.
When they were needed most, this government was nowhere to be found.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.